Good morning. Hey, that sounds great. It's good to be with you all. My name's Dan Moose. My privilege here being a part of Antioch is that we help these kids get this church started because we work on the district level starting church plants. And so it's been fun doing that. And Cheryl and I have been here for I don't know how long, so it's been a while. It's good to be with you today. What I want to do now is dismiss the kids to children's church, kindergarten through second grade, right? Good. Got that one right. Hey, if you're new here or new with us, I do preaching a little different. I don't ask rhetorical questions. What's that mean? Boom. You got it. Good. Good back there. And we'll have some of those today. Okay, they got that changed. I'm not in the summer psalms. We were wondering what God would want us to preach, and I had a sermon figured out a week and a half ago, and God changed it. So we're going to see where God leads us. So I'd ask that you just, thank you, Ryan, for the great music, just the time of worship and really starting to see our God. And too often we get about ourselves, and our life isn't about ourselves, folks. You may be here as a believer. It's not about you. It's about God. You may be here and you're not a believer and you're kicking the tires. I'll let you in the secret. If you want to find fullness of life, it's about Jesus really living in you. And so let's just pause for a word of prayer and let's seek God's face. Father, what a privilege to join together and worship with the body of Christ. What a privilege to be called out of darkness into light. What a privilege to be in a relationship with our Creator God because of the work of Christ through the power of His Holy Spirit. What a privilege to know you're in our midst and you want to lead us. What a privilege to live out your salvation in us to minister to the world and advance your kingdom. Father, I pray that this time we share together today, you would speak to our hearts. I pray for you to take the thoughts that you've laid on my heart, and I pray for this body of believers that you would do a wonderful work in our lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Life isn't always easy, is it? In fact, we all have struggles. We all have hardships. We have things that come the wrong way. We have challenges to your personal life. It's nothing to get bad news. You turn on television, you're going to get bad news all the time because somebody's got hurt, somebody got shot. But there's always bad news. There's sudden changes which are out of our control. There's spiritual challenges. How aren't you responding to those? How do you as a believer respond? Today, what we want to talk about is we want to look at walking in a bold, expectant faith. Bold, meaning a conscious decision to step out of our comfort zone into faith to follow the Holy Spirit's lead in dependence on God consistently. Not one time, but consistently. Expectant, expecting God to show up and intervene in the situation and work out His promises in us and through us. I was talking with Ryan before service. Many times we wonder why we don't experience the Holy Spirit. Well, if we're sitting in the garage and doing nothing, do we need the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit was given to do what? Comfort us and empower us. And if we're sitting and waiting, what you need to empower us for. So bold, expectant faith. Faith is believing God's promises and walking in obedience in the power and in step with the Holy Spirit. Now here's a question, and this is a rhetorical question. My question is, how would you rate your bold, expectant faith walk? From one, being here and there once in a while, to seven being something all the time. I just want you to get that number in your mind. so that you're stopping and saying, well, this is where I think I'm at. I'm at a three, I'm at a five. But where are you at in your faith walk? But here's a question. What keeps us from or hinders us from that bold, expectant faith walk? What hinders us from doing that? That's a question. Fear. What will people think? Busyness. Struggling to trust God. Good. Ourselves. Fear that we expected the wrong thing, then God won't come through. Good. Doubts. I have one. Do you ever wonder whether God can use me? You know, God can't use me. Or maybe worse yet, God doesn't want to use me. Anybody else? As we stop and think about those today, I want us to understand that each believer was created for such a time as this, and God wants to work in us and through us consistently. We're on a kingdom mission. That's what he's called us to. Secondly, I want us to understand better how we can walk in a bold, expectant faith. That our faith depends on our dependency on God, not on us. It's nothing we can produce. It's what God works in us. And we want to look at some biblical principles to strengthen our faith in God. So you want a scripture text? Open up the book of Esther. We're going to cover the whole book of Esther today. We're going to do it quick because there's going to be parts of it I'm just going to give you highlights to. But the book of Esther, we're really going to be in chapter 4. Is where we're going to end up. But in the book of Esther, you really start to see how God uses very common people with a bold, expectant faith to be moving to advance his kingdom. The overview of the book of Esther, it's set in the Persian Empire back in the between 481 and 465 BC, so a few years ago. Secondly, the Persian Empire included everything from India on the east to Ethiopia on the west. So really, it's all the known world at that time. King Xerxes was the king, and in the third year, he had a party, and he asked his wife to do something, the queen, and she would not do it, and he said, you're out of here. And as he kicks her out, about 4 years later, he says, you know, I need a queen. And as he's looking for a queen, he says, what I want you to do is to find the most beautiful women in the whole empire, and I'll decide who I want to be my queen. And God raised up a gal named Esther, who was very beautiful in form. It says not only form, but also in the way she handled herself. And she was an adopted child. Her folks were dead. She was adopted by her uncle Mordecai. Mordecai and Esther were Jews, but they kept that a secret. Mordecai says, don't tell them who you are, because that's not something they need to know. And so what happened is she was in a year in special treatment and all this, and she went to the king, and the king says, this is who I want for my queen, and he takes her to be his queen. But at the same time, he brings Mordecai into the court, the king's court, so that he works in the king's court. But again, they don't know he's a Jew. About 4 years later, he raises up a guy named Haman. And Haman is a real piece of work. You know, one of those guys you just want to hit? He had a thing on his shoulder. He was arrogant. He was full of himself. And Haman was very full of himself and hated the Jews. But he didn't know Mordecai was a Jew. But everybody was supposed to bow down to Mordecai, but Mordecai decided, hey, I'm not bowing down to that guy. And all of a sudden, you start to see the just hatred boil out of Haman. And as the hatred's boiling out of Haman, Haman finds out that Mordecai is a Jew. And he says, I'll fix him. So he goes to the king. And as he goes to the king, he says to the king, you know, there's a people in our whole empire that really, they question you. They serve another god. I don't think we can really trust them. And he says, don't you think we ought to wipe them all out? He said, in fact, I'll put enough money into the coffers so that you can wipe them all out. And the king says, go ahead and do it. And he sets it up so that Haman sets it up for a year later, he's going to have all the Jews wiped out. Everybody's free to wipe the Jews out. And this is where we pick up the story here. Because when Mordecai hears this, it says he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went out into the streets weeping and wailing bitterly, as did all the Jews throughout the empire. And when Esther heard about this, Esther said, I hope he doesn't come back in the courtyard that way, because the king will kill him anyhow. And so Esther wants to send out clothes to him so that he can come into the courtyard, but he would not accept him. Now, we're at chapter 4, verses 5, and I think you can see it behind me here. Also, if you want to follow, chapter 4, verse 5. Then Esther sent Hatak, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. Mordecai told him everything that has happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jew. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain to her, and he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with the people for her people. And the next couple of verses, Hatak goes and reports to Esther, and then she gives this reply, starting in verse 11. Anyone approaching the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king will be put to death, unless the king extends the gold scepter to him and it spares their life. But 30 days have passed since I've been called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights, or day. And I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this was done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. And on the third day, Esther put on her royal robe and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his throne in the hall facing the entrance. A little bit of a problem, isn't there? We also, as we start looking through this, we see how God uses common folks to respond to his struggles and testing. Look, did you see Mordecai's way? What did Mordecai tell her to do? Go to the king. Go to the king. Doesn't matter what, just go to the king. Let's get it over with. What was Esther's response? Esther's response was totally different, wasn't it? Did you notice that? What did she do? She said, whoa, wait a minute. You call all the Jews together, and me and my attendants will do what? Fast and pray for 3 nights and day. And as they go, so you see Mordecai's way, human way, you see Esther showing a radical dependence on God, where she turns to God in a radical dependence. And then that's where bold faith steps up. Look at her bold faith. I will go see the, after you pray, after we pray, after we seek God, after I hear from God, I'm going to go to the king. What's the boldness about that? If I die, I die. But I believe God has raised me up for such a time as this. And she goes to the king because she expects God to intervene and lead her. And boldly she steps out after she prays. Well, here's the rest of the story before we really apply this to your life. How does God lead and use his people when they step out in faith? Well, first of all, as you go down through the rest of the chapter, chapter 5 and following, the king welcomes Esther into his presence. Secondly, king says, hey, can I have you and Haman for a meal today? Oh, yes. And as he comes to the meal and shares in that meal, she says, there's one thing I have a request tomorrow. I'd like to have a meal with you again, both of you again. And you go, why 2 days in a row? Wait a minute. It's there. And Haman, as he leaves after that first meal, he's walking out. He's going out through the courtyard. Who's there? Mordecai. What's Mordecai not do? Doesn't bow. But Haman's full of himself because I get to go have a feast with the king tomorrow and the queen. Just me. And just because Mordecai wouldn't bow, it says his anger got really bad. He goes home and he talks to his family. He says, you know this guy Mordecai? And someone says, well, why don't you kill him? And then he decides, he says, why don't I build a gallows 75 feet high and I'll have him killed tomorrow. But that night, the king couldn't sleep. The king has the chronicles of his whole kingdom brought to him, and someone's reading it to him, and all of a sudden he hears in there, Mordecai intervened in your life and saved you from assassination shortly after Esther became king. Queen. And because of that, the next question the king says, how did we honor him? Well, we didn't. We forgot to. He saved your life. And in the Medes and Persians, they had to honor people who cared for them. And so he says, how do we honor? And so the next morning, Haman's coming to ask for what? Man, I want to kill Mordecai. Can I put him on the gallows? But at the same time, just as he walks in, the king says, how should we honor somebody who saved the king's life? And Haman thinks it's him. And he says, well, you take him through the city and honor him for everybody. And that's the next thing that Haman had to do, is take Mordecai on the king's horse throughout the city and say, this is how the king honors those who treat him right. And then it says that Haman went home from there just humiliated. But of course, the eunuchs came and said, hey, we have a meal, a feast. And as they go into the feast with the king, the queen, the king says, what's your request? And she says, well, there's somebody who wants to kill all my people, me included. Who would that be? Haman. Long story short, the king has Haman killed on the gallows he built. And Mordecai then is raised up into second command to take over the place of Haman, and God uses him and Esther to save all the Jews. And guess what? If you want to enjoy the rest of the story, you're going to have to read the book of Esther, because I quit. But there is one thing that we know. The Jews were saved because of who? A person who was willing to say, for such a time as this. Why was it important that the Jews were saved? Why was it important that the line of David was saved? Question. Boom. That's where Jesus came from. Wow. Do you see how an orphan girl God used to save his kingdom? We see God using common folks. And as God's done this, we see how God advanced his kingdom because Esther radically depended on him and followed his lead with a bold, expectant faith. So how does that work today? How does that apply to us as believers? You're saying, but Moose, that's Old Testament. That's right. The Jews were Old Testament. But New Testament, who is the Jews in the New Testament? Who's God's chosen people in the New Testament? Us? believers is right, but us. So often we're talking about the believers, but it's us. And so how does God want to work through this? How do we incorporate this? Because I think the first thing we need to realize is that we who have put our faith in Jesus Christ and have been called and empowered by His Holy Spirit are called for as people to step out, and God wants to do what? Advance His kingdom through us. We need to understand first what it means to be living in such a time as this. We all say, well, that has to be a big crisis. Well, is this not a time in the world where this is a big crisis? What are some of the things going on in the world around you? Everybody loves Christians, right? Wrong. A lot of Christians are struggling because they're struggling in their faith because of struggling with the woke and the political system, right? We see murders happening. One happened last night down here in Minneapolis. Another person shot. Then we personally have our own struggles, don't we? Is it such a time as this? Is there a time when God would desire that we as His children would be more yielded to understand such a time as this? I don't think so, folks. Do you know God, as He saved you and created you, set you up and put you in the place you are today? Is that right? And as He put you in that place today, He put you in there for a reason, for such a time as this. Which means what? God wants to work in and through you. Now, I know what's the easiest. Oh, Andy will do it. No, Darius will do it. Isn't it right? We see something needs to be done, and we say, what about somebody else? Oh, Joel can do it. Cody can do it. Do you see what we're getting at? Isn't that a lot of times how we live our faith? And this is why Mordecai had to go to Esther and say, Esther, for such a time as this, didn't God raise you up for such a time as this? And I believe God wants us to hear that today, that, excuse me, that God placed you here, God placed you in this body of believers, God placed you where you work, God placed you where you can play, so that He can advance His kingdom through you. As Esther understood and accepted the truth that she was raised up for such a time as this, I think we need to hear it too, folks. What was her first response? A radical dependence on God. What did she tell Mordecai? Look at verse 16. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and pray for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king. Even though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish. A bold faith? Yes, that's a bold faith. Was she in her comfort zone? No, she got out of her comfort zone. Was she scared? I think she probably was. But she knew something. She had a bold faith because she was depending on God. She had turned in radical dependence on God. And because she knew God, she could depend on Him. See, she just didn't know about God. See, that's one of the things that we have. We have a lot of head knowledge, folks. But does that translate into knowing God? Do you know your God? He wants you to be in that personal relationship so you know Him and so you trust Him, so you can step out in that faith. And we need to grow in our faith. And the only way we can grow in our faith is when we experience God and His power. Esther lived out Romans 10:13. It says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the message about Christ. Well, back there, it would have been the message about God. In her radical dependence, she prayerfully sought to hear from God. Then she boldly and obediently walked in faith that God would keep His promise and lead her. Who are you? We're children of God, right? We're God's chosen people, right? We have the same Holy Spirit that raised God from the dead, right? And God is still the same yesterday and today, and he can still do miracles in us and through us. Is that right? And we can shake our heads. Right? But God wants to do that, folks. We need to realize that if we understand who we are and who he is, and we know him close, we closely know, then he wants us to live in a bold, expectant faith. That boldness, she stepped out to the promises of God because she had heard God. Stop and think about it. How in the world would she come up with a 2-day feast plan? Why in the world would you do that? Somebody said over here, so they thought maybe people think we're crazy about what we're thinking. Why would she have 2 different feasts? Very simply, because God had to deal with the king regarding Mordecai not being honored. Oh, wow. You see the miracle? You see why we have to hear from God? It's not just stepping out and saying, oh, I'll go do this. No, we have to hear God tell us what to do, and then we do what? Step out. And that's what God is calling us to. God wants to work in us and through us, and that's our boldness after we've heard. Then we expect God to intervene, and I will go. God wants to grow our faith and work in us and through us, and we need to let him do that. And then as he does it, we step out. Think back to Peter walking on the water. Would have Peter ever experienced walking on the water and seeing the miracle of walking on the water if he hadn't stepped out of the boat? Jesus had said, come, so he heard the word, right? Folks, I wonder, and I'm talking to myself now. I'm preaching. This sermon's for me just as much as you. I went through some stuff in the last 6 weeks, that I realized my faith is not what it needs to be. Because I don't step out in a bold faith. Because I don't hear from God. I don't hear from God. I need to get alone with God to hear him. And when he tells me to step out, I need to step out. And then we see that God intervened. He worked through through his followers, living out bold, expectant faith. God is faithful to all who call on him. The king wanted to see Esther. The king couldn't sleep. The king wanted Mordecai honored. And Haman built his own death trap. They said it was 75 feet high, so the whole city could see what happened. But the biggest thing is, God saved the Jews because 2 people who were common people stepped out in faith, right? And God showed himself true. As we close today, here are some thoughts to ponder. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a personal faith in God through Jesus Christ. Boy, this is a great time to stop and think about it, because God has sent Jesus to come and live a perfect life so that he could pay for all of your sins so that you could become a follower of his. And what you need to do is you need to place your faith in him. That's the start of faith. The start of our faith is when we respond to God's call to salvation. And if you don't know that salvation day, I would encourage you, because your sins have separated you from your God, and all of us have sinned and gone our own way. And if you don't know that today, there's many people here who'd love to talk to you about that. I would too. But for those who are believers, then let's stop and look at what's your normal response when you go through struggles, trials, and testings of life. How do you respond? I know how it's easy for me to do. And you say, well, Moose, you're a pastor, you know this. hey, I have the same clay feet that you do. And I have the same feelings at times you do. This morning to preach a sermon, I had to work through my mind again for such a time as this. God, you want to work this through me. Because it's very easy for me to play those things in my mind. What I did wrong. All that stuff, you know what I'm talking about? The fear. What if this sermon just flops? All that stuff. How do you respond? Do we respond by saying someone else will do it? Or do we turn to a radical dependent prayer? Do we turn to God and say, God, boy, I need you. I desperately need you. More than that, I desperately want to hear from you because I desperately want to do what you want me to do because you own me. You paid the price for my life through Jesus Christ. I'm not my own anymore. I find at times hard to humble myself to do that. Maybe you do too. But how do you respond? Because what God is calling us to is to live that bold, expectant prayer based on our radical dependence, a bold, expectant faith based on our radical dependence in prayer. What steps do you need to take to be radically dependent on God? As I went through my time in the last couple months, I was been praying for people and I said, God, you know so-and-so, and it seems that their love for Jesus has grown cold, their first love. And I remember the morning God went like this to me. Moose, what about your first love? I says, oh. You know, it's easy to see something to someone else, right? I said, oh. And I had to come back and repent. And so what step do you need to take so that you can be radically dependent on God? What's keeping you from it? Fear. If it's fear, how do we trust God? I'm sure Peter, you know, I could see, could you see stepping over the side of that boat into those waves? That'd be stupid. I'm in a safe boat. But Jesus called and he stepped in. You go, wow. If we hear the master calling, we can respond. Lastly, what steps do you need to take to live out an expectant, bold faith in everyday situations for such a time as this? For such a time as this in your family, for such a time as this at your workplace, for such a time as this in the body of Christ here at Antioch. What's it going to take for us to be people who are known to be people who are so in love with our Heavenly Father, in love with Jesus, that we're willing to step out, walk in a bold, expectant faith in the power of the Holy Spirit? God wants to do that. It's nothing we can produce. We can't produce that bold faith, folks. All we do is practice it. And we grow as we depend and start to walk. I love seeing all these little kids around here. You know the little kids, those, are they start walking? What do they do most of the time when they start walking? Fall, fall, fall. They always get back up. And we're quick to pick them up. So why are we so afraid to maybe stumble and stepping out in faith? We know God will promise to take care of us, but we also know we have a body of believers to work together with us. Isn't that right? So what's it going to take for us to understand such a time as this to walk faithfully with our God? Because our world needs it, and God wants to work in you and through you to do it. I want to take a time as we close in prayer, just some quiet time for you to ponder this and say, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me? take a few moments just to listen. There'll be a time of silence, and then I'll close, and then the worship team can come and lead us. Father God, again, we want to thank you for choosing us, setting us aside for your kingdom's sake, and calling us to such a high calling to enter into your salvation and to be onto the body of Christ and to be on your team to advance your kingdom. Father, I pray for each one of us, me and my brothers and sisters in Christ here, and ask, Lord, that you would show us the things that are holding us back. And then, Lord, not only just show us, but, Lord, as you show us, I come and we repent of those things that are holding us back and saying, Lord, help us. Father, maybe it's growing in our first love again and hearing your word and hearing your voice speak to us. Maybe it's seeing how you want to work through us and in us. Maybe it's seeing that we are a very, very important part of this body of believers and we need each other and each other needs us. Father, we would ask that you would lead us. We would come today again and yield ourselves to you and say, Lord, we're yours. You've bought us with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And we would ask that your Holy Spirit would do a work in and through us for your kingdom's sake. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.